This COVID-19 virus has turned all of our lives upside down. And it has left many of us asking, well, how do you make sense of your faith when it seems as if what God is allowing to happen, it makes no sense? And how can I be confident of God's love for me in these times of uncertainty? Well, I want you to remember these two things from our text this evening. One, it is because God loves you that he will lead you and he will provide for you. God will lead you and he will provide for you. The story of Abraham is the story of a man who is trying to make sense of his faith. In chapters 12, he leaves behind his family and his country and his home to follow God, as Elsa and Anna would say, into the unknown. A reference that shows that I'm probably spending too much time with my girls watching Frozen in lockdown. But by the time we get to chapters 21, life is good. Abraham is living in the blessings of fulfilled promises. They have just conceived Isaac, the child of promise, and Abraham, towards the end of the chapter, is recognized as a great man at the Treaty of Beersheba. You see, all of these were the fulfillments of God's promise to Abraham. Life seems to be going well. So it seems as if all Abraham has to do is just sit back and relax and enjoy his wife, his new family, his wealth, and the blessings of having a great name. But chapter 22 is a reminder, not only to Abraham, but to all of us, that faith is a journey. It is not a destination. In other words, God will often shake us from our spiritual complacency to remind us that faith is not stagnant, but it's dynamic. It should always be moving us towards a greater reliance and deeper trust in God. So he says in verse 1, Abraham, calls his name Abraham. Notice that this is the name that God gave Abraham in Genesis chapter 17 when he changed his name from Abram. And Abraham simply means the father of many. This is his covenant name. Do you see what God is doing? God is calling him by his covenant name as a reminder that regardless of what he's about to call him to do next, that he has not forgotten his promise to him. So Abraham replies in verse 1, here I am. The Lord says, I want you to take your son, your only son, meaning not Ishmael, but Isaac, the son of promise, the son whom you love. Now, what's interesting is that this is the first time that the word love has been used in all of Scripture. And it is used to describe the love of a father for his son, the very son that he's been asked or he is being asked to give up. And what we see here is one of the earliest pictures of redemptive history. God says, I want you to take your son, the son whom you love, and I want you to go to the region of Moriah. And I want you to sacrifice him there on the mountain that I will show you. And at this point, the reader is saying to themselves, wait a minute. And I'm sure Abraham was saying the same thing. Wait, God. Now, this makes absolutely no sense. One, it not only seems to contradict the character of God who condemns murder in chapter 9 and then goes on to condemn child sacrifice later on, but it also seems to contradict the very promise that God made to him. I mean, Isaac was the son through whom all the nations of the world would be blessed. I can imagine Abraham saying, wait, God, I've waited 25 years for this blessing. And now you're asking me to sacrifice my only son, the son whom I love. And listen to this. You're asking me to sacrifice the blessing that you gave me. Now, we know it's a test, but Abraham doesn't know that. And in its most basic term, this test was a choice between the blessings of God and God himself. But also notice, Abraham was being called to sacrifice more than just his son. He was being called to sacrifice himself. For Abraham, this was the end of his story. This was the end of the promise that for years he had clung to and he had believed that God would fulfill. Abraham was essentially being called to sacrifice his own future. So as we continue our story, we see that God is leading Abraham to a place of testing. And it's possible that on his journey to Mount Moriah, Abraham did not know how God was going to be faithful to his promises. But Abraham figured that God was going to do something. I mean, he had to, because it was consistent with the nature of the revelation of who God had revealed himself to be to Abraham up until this point. Look at verse 4. It says, on the third day, Abraham looked up and he saw the place in the distance. And when he gets there, he tells his servants, watch this, stay here with the donkey. Well, I and the boy, we will go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Wait a minute. Abraham, God just told you to sacrifice your one and only son. And you're saying that we will go and we will worship and we will come back to you? Shouldn't it be the other way around? Shouldn't it be we will go, but only I will come back to you? See, Abraham was ready to slaughter Isaac, and yet Abraham absolutely believed that Isaac was going to come back down that mountain with him. Why? Because he knew that God keeps his word. And the only way God was going to keep his promise was if he was able to raise the boy from the dead. This is what Abraham was reasoning. And what this tells us is that this is not some blind faith, as philosopher Kierkegaard once suggested that it was. This is him reasoning based off of his experience and propositional knowledge that he has of God, that God was going to somehow, some way, keep his word. But don't take my word for it. Look at what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 11. It says, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. And then he goes on to say, but Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so in a manner of speaking, he did receive his son Isaac back from the dead. So where did Abraham get this belief in the resurrection? I mean, this is years before we even hear about a resurrection. Well, remember Sarah? Remember her womb? She was dead. Her womb, she could not have children. But Abraham saw God bring forth life from death. And so Abraham's confident that God will make a way. He's confident that God will somehow, some way bring this boy back from the dead. So as Abraham and Isaac worked their way up the mountain in verses 6-7, Abraham took the wood and he placed it on his son Isaac. Then it says, Isaac noticed something. Isaac noticed that there was no animal. And he says, Father, we have the fire and we have the wood, but where is the animal? Now, if you're Abraham, how do you answer that question? How do you look your son in the eyes and say, son, you're right. There is no animal. There is no lamb, because you're the lamb. He couldn't bring himself to say that, but all he had was a faith that something was going to happen and that God was going to somehow, some way intervene. And so he looks his son in the eyes and he speaks these prophetic words. He says, my son, God will provide. I don't know how he's going to provide and I don't know when he's going to provide, but I know that God will provide. So when the moment of truth came, Abraham had bound his son Isaac on the altar. And it's important for us to remember that Isaac is old enough and strong enough to be able to resist his father. Remember, Abraham had his son carry up wood up a mountain for a sacrifice. And that was a lot of wood because it had to be enough to consume an entire sacrifice. So Abraham, or Isaac, he's old enough to be able to resist his father. So the only way he was going to get on that altar is if he was willing to lay down his own life. And this has echoes of what Jesus says in John chapter 10 when he tells his disciples that no one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own volition. And when the moment of truth came, verses 9 to 10 tells us that Abraham, he bound his son and he raised his hand to slay the boy. And the angel of the Lord, which is Christ in the Old Testament, he called out to him from heaven saying, Abraham, do not harm the boy. For now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld your only son from me, the son that you love. Now, could you imagine the relief and the joy that Abraham must have experienced in this moment, taking his son off of the altar and embracing him as if he was holding him for the first time? And I could imagine Abraham looking up to the stars, looking up to the heavens, and saying, God, you are faithful. You are faithful. And in verse 23, it tells us that Abraham looked up and he saw a ram and he went over and he took it and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. And so he named that place of testing Jehovah Jireh, which means God will provide. God's timing. Listen, God's timing is amazing. See, I believe that the ram must have been there the entire time, but Abraham didn't notice it until God wanted to reveal it to him. You see, the answer to Abraham's problems were already supplied to him. But it was only when Abraham took radical steps of faith and obedience that those answers were provided. You see, sometimes the answers that we're looking for will only be revealed as we continue to walk by faith. And I'm going to say that one more time. Sometimes the answers that we're looking for, they will only be revealed when we continue to walk by faith. Listen, Genesis 22 is in no way an affirmation of child sacrifice. In fact, it is the complete opposite. I like what a Christian apologist Vince Vitale once said. He says that when God wanted to show the complete insanity of child sacrifice, what better way to do that than to take Abraham and Isaac up that mountain where child sacrifices were daily made to confront the horror of it? And then at the last moment, provide another way, provide a better way. Provide a substitute. And we now have this story as a permanent reminder that the God of the Bible will not allow us to live and to do like the nations around us. It is a constant reminder, a permanent reminder to us that unlike every other religion, it is not about us providing a sacrifice for God, but it's about God providing a sacrifice for us. Many years after the story of Abraham, another son would be walking up a hill. And a father would be walking alongside of him, ready to sacrifice his one and only son whom he loved. Jesus says in John chapter 8 that Abraham had rejoiced to see his day. That means that when Abraham was on his way up to Mount Moriah, he looked in the distance and he sees something. Mount Moriah. It's located just a few hundred yards from Mount Calvary, which is the place where Jesus was crucified. And what does Abraham see? He sees the Lamb of God hanging on the tree to take away the sins of the world. Jesus tells us that Abraham was full of joy because he saw that the Lord will provide. So in these times when nothing seems to make sense, how can I have the confidence that God loves me? How can I have the confidence to believe that God will lead me and that God will provide for me in these uncertain times? Like Abraham, we look to the cross and we see the extent to which God's love will go to bring us forgiveness and reconciliation with God. And we remember that God will provide. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you for how you have provided for us. And Lord, help us to be confident as we look at the cross that there is nothing that you will not do for us. There is no mountain that you will not move for us. That there is no love and compassion that you will not give to us because you have already proved your love for us. So no matter where we are in this place and in this moment and time of our lives, Lord, we can be confident that you will lead us to a place of safety and you will provide for us everything that we need. In Jesus' name, amen.